Hello, this is Sharon. I welcome you to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. We begin today's reading on the front page. Arts and Entertainment. Film student looks to stars. Leroy grad gets big break working with Hollywood crew. When Leroy native and Eastern Illinois University student Matt Williamson first began pursuing a career in filmmaking, he never expected he would be working with the same actors whose performances inspired him to enter the industry. But on the set of Chili Finger, an independent film shot at a studio in central Illinois, he met Bryan Cranston, who played one of the lead roles. "I was like, oh my gosh," Williamson said, of meeting the actor best known for his role in the acclaimed television show Breaking Bad. "It went from being on a college set the next day that I worked with Bryan Cranston and John Goodman, and it was just such a crazy experience." Williamson recalled pacing around his bedroom back home in Leroy for Mother's Day when he got the phone call to work Chili Finger. "I was just so happy. I was just so happy and just so grateful," he said. On set in July 2025, Williamson worked as a camera production assistant and as a camera utility, helping to support the camera department by getting equipment ready to shoot. The film student said Chili Finger is expected to be released sometime this year. Williamson, a senior television and video production major at Eastern Illinois University, said his passion for film developed while he was working at the Princess Theater in Leroy. "I started working there when I was 14. I had to get a special work permit to work there," he said, smiling. Before he secured the job, Williamson said he was already infatuated with the movies. As a kid, he would even stay behind after watching a show to help sweep up popcorn at his local theater just because he wanted a job there so badly. He has since begun to work in film production, including student media and professional sets. But when he's back home on breaks, you can still find Williamson working at the Princess Theater. Pulp Fiction was the first movie that showed Williamson what film can be, he said. But for the film student, Cranston's Breaking Bad revolutionized what storytelling could be and what television could be. So when Williamson's professor, Drew Britton, connected him with Chili Finger, he was starstruck. "We were filming in Champaign, and Bryan Cranston just walked in the door," Williamson said. "And he just walked in like any other person, like he was just another person on set, just working. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Bryan Cranston," to my friends. On the last day on set, Williamson got to meet the Breaking Bad actor who had inspired him years before, and Cranston autographed memorabilia for him. "To people in the film world, it just feels like maybe it's just another day on set, or just another gig, or just another job. But to me, it was like, wow, that's the person I grew up with and helped create the art that made me want to get into this profession," he said. Britton connected Williamson with Flyover Film Studios in Rantoul, which is where Chili Finger was shot, after he chose Williamson to work on a film project in 2024 called Fly Trapper. That film was about two friends who connected after being estranged for 10 years, Britton said. He called the movie polarizing and said he aimed to capture a story that operated on its own wavelength instead of following a particular thread line. Britton said production is finished and he hopes to screen it at a film festival in the near future. Williamson, along with his college roommate and friend, Ryan Bevers, both applied to work as interns on Flytrapper, which was shot in Wisconsin. I learned a majority of what I know from that film set, Williamson said. Britton said Sarah Sharp and Robert Patrick Stern reached out to him when they first started Flyover Film Studios, having met through the film festival circuit. The professor visited the Rantoul studio, which had previously been an Air Force base. "This is going to be unbelievable once this gets up and running," Britton recalled, thinking after first visiting Flyover. After being chosen for Fly Trapper, Sharp and Stern selected Williamson and Bevers to work on Chili Finger. Britton attributed the students' work ethics and passion to their success so far in the film industry. "It was very serendipitous. They're now filming Emmy-nominated shows," Britton said. The professor noted that Bevers graduated last year and is working constantly. Britton said it is fulfilling to see Williamson still in school, but already at a point where people are like, "Let us know when you're done. He has more knowledge than he'll ever need." Bloomington city bans Kratom, calls psychoactive drug risky. The city of Bloomington has joined a growing number of Illinois communities that have prohibited the possession, sale, or delivery of Kratom, a plant native to Southeast Asia that can have psychoactive properties when consumed. The leaves of the plant, which can be smoked, brewed into tea, or put into gel capsules, can cause a stimulant effect when consumed at a low dose and a sedative effect when consumed at a high dose, according to data from the Drug Enforcement Administration. However, users were also reported to experience hallucinations. During Monday's city council meeting, Alderman Michael Mosley said he's been working on such an ordinance for the last 7 to 8 months, and that the real concern is that Kratom is being sold without meaningful oversight or consistent labeling. "So people don't always know what they're taking and how risky it may be," Mosley said. Bloomington Corporation Counsel Chris Spanos also said the city was having conversations with Assistant Police Chief Paul Williams about drafting an ordinance on Kratom and synthetic alternative drugs, which include products containing a cannabinoid stimulant or psychedelic. However, THC-infused drinks were not included in the ordinance. Williams clarified that noncompliance with the new ordinance is not a criminal code violation, but instead would be treated as an ordinance violation. "Nobody's going to prison for possessing this," Williams told the council. "Under the new ordinance, it shall be considered a nuisance for any business or other location to manufacture, keep for sale, sell, or deliver products containing Kratom or synthetic alternative drugs. Any person or entity found to be in violation of this ordinance could be subject to a fine of between $350 and $750. A finding of liability for the offense may also result in the non-renewal or revocation of any city-issued business licenses. Public response to the ordinance was mixed, with some residents applauding it as a measure to create corporate accountability on a substance that falls in a legal gray area. Some small business owners who sell Kratom, meanwhile, maintained that their customers have used it therapeutically for chronic pain, chronic fatigue, and anxiety. They stated that the problems with Kratom are not with the raw plant, but with a 7-OH, a metabolic of the plant that can cause adverse effects when synthetically concentrated. Therefore, small business owners in attendance called for the banning of synthetic products containing 7-OH, which has been done in multiple states. The city council engaged in no discussion before calling the ordinance for a vote. The only amendment to the proposed ordinance was to allow 11 days before it takes effect, which came at the request of the city. The amended ordinance was approved 7-0. Members Jenna Kearns and Cody Hendricks were absent. Today's flick fact question. In terms of the number of acres it covers, of the following, which is the largest store in Bloomington Normal? Is it Sam's Club, Meijer, Lowe's, Home Depot, Target, or either of the Walmarts? And the answer is it's the Meijer store, which takes up more than 5 acres. And from the back pages of the pantograph, How Time Flies Locally. 100 years ago on January 28, 2026, Will Rogers, the famous cowboy humorist who will write a series of weekly articles commenting upon contemporary affairs for the pantograph, was born on a ranch in Oklahoma 43 years ago. 75 years ago, on January 28, 1951, Ozark Airlines, which began feeder service through Bloomington on November 6, will activate its fifth route going from St. Louis to Tulsa on February 2. 50 years ago, January 28, 1976, contractors were testing equipment that will hook Normal's new West Well field to the city's treatment plant. The three new wells between Stanford and Danvers will more than double the amount of water Normal will be able to pump. And 25 years ago today, January 28, 2001, preparing for two new Unit 5 schools and the potential for 2,000 new houses dominates much of Normal's proposed 2001 to 2002 fiscal year budget that is up about $3.5 million over the last year. In addition, the town plans major street, sewer, and water projects, so more employees will be hired to help handle the heavy workload. However, the town's $12.2 million capital improvement budget and $20.9 million general operating fund budget, which represents the biggest parts of the overall $46.9 million spending plan, will not require an increase in property taxes. The year's budget totaled $43.4 million. Current tax rate of $1.0553 per $100 of assessed valuation is expected to remain the same or dip slightly in fiscal year 2001 through 2002. The town's equalized assessed valuation in 1999 was $457.7 million. Rural health funding knocked. Illinois will receive $193 million for each of the next 5 years to expand health care access for the approximately 1.9 million people in rural areas, or about $101 annually for every rural Illinoisan. The money comes from the $50 billion Federal Rural Healthcare Transformation Program Fund, which Congress created to offset federal Medicaid spending cuts included in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or H.R. 1, that passed last summer. Healthcare organizations said the money will not be enough to compensate for the Medicaid cuts. These funds are good, and we're going to put them to good use, but it's not a solution, said Jordan Powell, Senior Vice President of Health Policy and Finance for the Illinois Health and Hospital Association. It's not going to mitigate the impact of the significant Medicaid cuts that are coming our way. The Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services said between 190,000 and 360,000 Medicaid recipients are at risk of losing coverage in Illinois because of new work requirements. HR 1 also imposes a tighter cap on how much money states can raise for their Medicaid programs through provider taxes. The new limits will be phased in starting in fiscal year 2028 and could reduce total Medicaid funding in Illinois by $4.5 billion a year by fiscal year 2031. Long term, we know a number of HR 1 provisions will have a devastating impact on healthcare in our state and present significant challenges with respect to maintaining equitable access to high-quality healthcare coverage for all Illinois residents, the department said in a statement. Illinois has 85 small and rural hospitals that serve as hubs for access to care for people who can't travel long distances. Nearly 30% operate at a deficit, though, and most of the patients they serve are on Medicare or Medicaid, according to the Health and Hospital Association. Powell described the new federal money as a bandage, not a permanent solution for the cuts Illinois hospitals will face. As Medicaid reimbursement decreases, he said hospitals could be forced to reduce services like obstetrics, cut staff, or close entirely. The amount each state received ranged from $147 million for New Jersey to $281 million for Texas, and rural population appeared to be only a small factor in the equation. That means states like Texas, with the largest rural population in the country, got far less per rural residence than states like Rhode Island, which has the smallest. Texas received $66 per rural residence, and Rhode Island, with a total award of $156 million, receives $6,305 per resident. Night in a car to aid homeless. Home Sweet Home Ministries will be partnering with Trinity Lutheran Church for the 10th annual Night in a Car fundraiser on February 6th to give residents a firsthand glimpse into homelessness. The special event gives participants the chance to live out of their car during the overnight hours, starting at 7 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church, located at 801 South Madison Street. Participants can choose to either stay all night, join the event sponsors for activities and leave on their own, or participate at their own speed from home. Residents staying overnight will have the opportunity to come into the church for bottled water, snacks, and restroom breaks throughout the evening. Leslie Bunge, Home Sweet Home Ministries Director of Development, said at least 32 teams have joined the 2026 event. With the community's support, we look forward to speeding towards our $175,000 goal, Bunge said in a news release. Anyone can get involved by going to nightinacar.org and signing up a team or donating any amount to a team or just to the event. Last year, the event raised over $150,000. Normal honored for data use. The town of Normal received high honors from a national nonprofit for data excellence in city government. Results for America awarded its Bloomberg Philanthropic What Works Cities Silver Certification to Normal for establishing data capabilities to inform policymaking, allocate funding, improve services, evaluate programs, and engage residents. Bloomberg Philanthropics What Works Cities certification shows we're on the right path in using data and technology. Certification supports our organization and city council in making informed choices, keeps us moving forward, and helps us lead across Illinois, said Normal City Manager Pamela Reese in a statement. An example of the town's use of data is the Museums for All model, which provides half-price admission to families receiving public assistance. More than 2,600 families have enrolled in the program since 2018. Other examples of the town's data-driven decisions can be found online at normalil.gov/WWC. ISU Planetarium Show on Universe. Illinois State University's Planetarium will be presenting Messengers of Time and Space, an exploration into the more dynamic and violent phenomena in the universe through February 28th. The shows will be on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 2 and 7:30 p.m. Messengers of Time and Space goes in search of telescopes and other specialized equipment used to explore asteroids, exploding stars, black holes, and other mysteries hiding in the night sky. New technologies are helping to reveal these phenomena in new ways and unprecedented ways. For more information, visit isu.edu. Thornton Brewery Wall Hid Loaded 1920s Gun. Andy Howell, the founder of Thornton Distilling Company in Thornton, was trying to find a place to run a new electrical conduit in his brewery's historic building when instead he came across a loaded gun. The gun was found on January 19th in a nondescript vent in a wall of the brewery's artesian well, a part of the building in Chicago's south suburbs that often host weddings. Howell said wedding photographers had recommended that he light the space better, leading him to search for a place for the conduit. There were two big chunks of mortar there, and they were loose, Howell said. When I stuck my arm in there, it felt like they kind of wiggled. I removed them, shined the flashlight in there, and that's when I found the pistol. The pistol was loaded and in a holster when Howell found it. Howell said he's not particularly knowledgeable about guns, but he was told the gun is a Colt 1908. They told me it looks like the ammunition is from 1920, Howell said. Thornton Distilling Company was founded in 2014, but operates out of a building with a brewery history that dates back to 1857, according to the website. It's the oldest standing brewery in the state of Illinois, Howell said. They've turned up a variety of historical artifacts in the course of working on the building, but hadn't found anything in a couple of years. We've done so much construction in the building, and anytime we find something, it's really exciting, Howell said. However, his mood shifted when he realized the gun was loaded. There was a full gun, fully loaded, that was in an area where, you know, when we first opened, we were letting people just go down in the well when they asked. That was alarming. So it went from excitement to alarm. Howell said he immediately called the police. The Thornton Police Department issued a statement saying officers conducted a standard check and confirmed that the gun was not associated with any crimes. And Howell said that was a relief. Bloomington's 5-day forecast. It will be brisk and quite cold today with clouds and sun. You can expect 2 to 4 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity of 65%, and a high temperature of 21 degrees. It will be partly cloudy and bitterly cold tonight, with average relative humidity of 80% and a low temperature of 1 degree. Tomorrow, Thursday, will be mostly cloudy and frigid. Temperatures expected between 15 and 0 degrees. Friday, continued cold and frigid. Temperatures will be between 16 and 1 degrees. Saturday, guess what? Continued cold and frigid and breezy in the morning. The high temperature is expected to be 20 and the low 6. And that continues on Sunday. Partly sunny and very cold. Temperatures between 20 and 14 degrees. Jenna Smith, nutrition and wellness educator with the University of Illinois Extension, offers us her column, Healthy Families: Crack the Code on Whole Grains. The dietary guidelines for Americans recommend making at least half your grains whole grain. Examples of whole grains are brown rice, wild rice, oats, quinoa, barley, buckwheat, bulgur, popcorn, corn, and wheat. However, it's not always easy as knowing that these are whole grains. You may have heard that eating wheat bread is one way to get whole grains. However, a loaf labeled wheat bread does not necessarily contain whole grain. The most reliable way to identify whole grain foods is by reading the ingredient list on the food label. Look for the word whole before the grain name. A whole grain contains all three parts of the kernel, including the bran, germ, and endosperm. Each of these parts contain key ingredients. A refined grain, such as white flour, has the bran and germ stripped. Whole grain foods contain dietary fiber, which is important for bowel function, helps to reduce constipation and diverticulitis. Fiber also helps you feel fuller, which may reduce overeating. To increase your whole grain intake, make the switch from white bread to whole grain bread, from white to brown rice or wild rice, and use enriched pasta. Instead of using enriched pasta, use whole grain pastas. Incorporate whole grains into mixed dishes like adding barley to your soup or bulgur wheat to your casseroles. You can also substitute whole wheat flour for white flour in most recipes. If you're making breads, muffins, or cookies, for example, use half of the flour as whole wheat flour. A few simple label checks and ingredient swaps can help you add more whole grains to your plate. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. Please stay tuned.